Welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. It is time now to talk Prowler hockey with Jeremy Skiba and Brady Beaton. And boys, they've won three in a row now. And finally, we get to talk about a weekend where they take 6 points
about
from
time.
Somebody. And, you know, only three goals each home game, so they're doing it with defense. They get a shutout Saturday, a 3-2 win on Friday night. In fact, both games, they had three-goal leads in, and they come away with two wins. Your thoughts on the weekend, Jeremy?
A huge weekend. Like I said, this is the first time they've swept since the opening weekend in Danbury, but in Danbury they had two overtime wins, so they only had 4 points out of that. Finally getting to that six, Brady and I, we've been mentioning it on our broadcast. It's huge, especially they've created some separation in the standings against Carolina now.
Columbus.
I always get them confused.
It's okay. Announcer does too.
Yeah. So. The Prowlers third in the pack with 25 points. River Dragons fourth with 18. So yeah, huge weekend. And still, I think it goes back to last weekend when we were in Georgia for the one game set. I mean, it's three straight wins against the River Dragons, three game winning streak. This is big for Port Huron.
Well, they've positioned themselves now, Brady, to make the jump to second place.
Yeah, because you're going to get 3 points on Wednesday. And then you go to Danville. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's funny, they got the shutout Saturday. I thought Simons played better on Friday. That game could have easily been 5-3 Columbus. He made some great saves. Not saying Paulin didn't play very well, but I thought he had better defense in front of him. The penalty kill was unbelievable. A couple guys like Dalton Young, unbelievable job on the penalty kill. Brian Parsons, great job on the penalty kill. But Corey Simons was just moving great, and the two goals he let up, it was a breakaway and a two-on-one, so not a lot he can do there.
Well, you mentioned the penalty kill, and they were busy on Saturday night. It was at least nine, and I was watching you guys do the game, and I was just kind of counting in my head without actually keeping actual track of it. But at one point, I know that the power plays were like 8-2, and I was getting a little annoyed with Paul Jean, but I always get annoyed with Paul Jean. And I want to know who's critiquing him, because he's like head of officials, so his job is to critique the officials.
Right.
Who critiques him when he's out doing a game, and why is he doing games?
I don't know. Big guy, though. He threw a couple guys against the boards.
Yeah,
that was entertaining.
He was doing it with a sore throat as well. I mean, I talked to him a little bit before the Saturday game. But, as Brady just mentioned, he's a pretty big ref there. He's throwing guys to the side when he needed to. But, and going back to that penalty kill, I remember on Saturday night, it seemed like with about 6 minutes left, they take a penalty, they kill it, boom, right back to the kill again. Joe Pace almost had an elbowing with like 2:05 left, so that would have really made it a nail-biter towards the end, but great job on the kill. You know, in the beginning of the season, they struggled with it a little bit, but definitely a resurgence there.
And how about it? Dalton J finally scores after like a month. Finally.
Yeah, November 16th was the last time he scored against the River Dragons.
A month ago today, so almost a month.
Almost a month, but he's the type of guy that can get it going. And, of course, Wednesday night with Battle Creek coming in, a whole bunch of guys might get it going that night. I'm certainly hopeful that that's the case. I want a rout, gentlemen. You got a team that is 0-19 in their history coming into our building. I don't want a close game. I don't want a struggle. I want to know that we've got 3 points shortly after warm-up ends.
I'm fully expecting a 3-point night. It would be a complete embarrassment otherwise.
I would agree with that. I just want to say this morning I started creating our charts for the Rumblebees, and it looks like I think their leading scorer might have just 3 points. I think it's Vinny Soucy. I'm sorry, he has 2 goals and 3 assists.
Oh, that's better.
So it's a little bit better, but no, I mean, it should be, as you mentioned, Dennis, an absolute rout, and you have to get the W, no exceptions.
But here's what always makes me nervous, is that the guys kind of forget that they've got a game on Wednesday. They're focused on the weekend and going to Danville for what's a big weekend, because actually you're 2 points out of second if you win on Wednesday, with a chance to go in on Friday and take over second place with a win in Danville and a big weekend there. And all of a sudden you can wake up on Monday morning with a like a 4-point lead in the standings and only one team ahead of you. And I know that they're still a long ways ahead, but it's the psychological thing of looking at the standings and watching yourselves right. move up from where you've been all the way up into second. The other part about it is we're going to assume that second place is going to be home ice in at least the first playoff series.
Depends where Watertown finishes.
Depends on where Watertown finishes and what they need to, how they need to tweak the playoffs to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to be a top four team over in the East, so I think they'll get in. But you avoid Carolina for a first series, which I know to win it, you got to beat them at some point because that's the way it's set up. But the longer you can put that series off, the more momentum you can build up, the more chance that maybe they could get some injuries or something in a tough first series with, say, Columbus or so, because they're a big team.
Yeah.
It's physical. You guys were right about that. We had a fight right off the hop on Friday night.
Yep. Dave Nippard, you knew it was going to happen after last night. Kind of got him going. 2 goals within, like, the next 4 minutes or something. So, yeah, saw that one coming. Disappointed we didn't see another one in the weekend. Kind of got it out of their system.
Yeah, but still chippy. It's physical with those guys. I think sometimes just by accident they run into people because they are a big team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we touched on it in the broadcast a bit. Columbus definitely has a lot of guys, you know, over the size of 6'2", with like Levi Lind, Will Laporte.
A lot of them are right here, you know, too. Yeah. Columbus is missing a lot of firepower. They're missing Graham, leading scorer. They're missing Pastuca, who was really good for Carolina last year. So that team has a lot to come back. So that's part of the reason why they're struggling.
And that's fine with me because we seem to be playing them a lot.
We don't play them until mid-January.
So. And you know that the way our luck has been for the previous 4 years, we usually catch everybody when they've got all their guys, and it's everybody else who gets to play them on the weekends when they don't.
Well, yeah, because it was Watertown came in here and signed Levier just to play here. Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
I think there was the one game he had.
Like 8 points.
He had 6 points just in the third period.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see him play again. I wish it was going to be this Wednesday.
Well, he's okay. Oh, I said on the last show he was scheduled to play this weekend. He had to stay at work Friday night, and then Saturday there was a snowstorm in Guelph, so he couldn't make it. But he is scheduled to play the next 3 games. You know,
hopefully, in Danville too.
Yeah,
he's making the trip.
Yeah,
that's the holiday.
That's what the staff told me. And you know, it's again, you know, you definitely, if you win Wednesday, if he's there, who knows? Maybe he gets 6 points again in a period. But you win Wednesday, and then you take him on the road to Danville. It's big. It's really big.
And that's nice, too, to kind of give him a chance to get the rust out, too, against an opponent on Wednesday that's probably going to be a little bit easier for him to play against. And then Danville will obviously, those will be tough games there. But I like the way, I've always liked the way we play in Danville. It's kind of the history thing that they come to our place and play us tough, and we go to their place and play them tough there. Although it was reversed the other way. The first weekend that we played them, we got the big shutout win here, and then it was a really tight game there that they pulled out.
Fred Hine with a late goal. Beat us.
Yeah. Well, it was Fred Hine 3 and Matt Robertson 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah, and you know, Hine was called up to the SP. I think it was a 3-game contract. So he probably will be back, you know, not certain yet, but yeah, he's definitely a guy you're going to watch out for on Friday and Saturday, no question.
I think the best part of this weekend, guys, and winning 2 games against Columbus was that they did it and Matt Robertson didn't score a goal, which is a rare weekend. Portillo got another goal. He continues to play really well. Austin Federley got a couple of goals this weekend.
One each night.
Zach Sulkanich, one of the guys that I pointed out along with Dalton Jay, they both get a goal on the weekend. That's a good sign to me that you can win 2 games and you don't need any real big numbers from Matt Robertson.
Yeah, absolutely. Robertson just with 2 assists over the weekend, 1 each night. Yeah, big. Again, something we've touched on in the past, we definitely love to see depth scoring, not just have, you know, Matt Graham and Matt Robertson and, you know, Dalton Jay, you know, in a bit of a rut, just score all the time.
You mentioned that there was only, obviously, 2 3-goal games of the Prowlers, both wins. That seems to be a league-wide thing. It seems like defense is becoming more prevalent. You're not getting the 7-6 games as much anymore. Why do you think that is? You think they just have better goalies? You think it's a philosophy change? What?
You know, I've actually, since I've been following this league, I've actually thought the goaltending year in and year out has been pretty good, even for the bad teams. Mm-hmm. Let's remember, who was the best goalie in the league last year? It was Christian Pavlis.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he start? North Shore. Mm-hmm. Go look at his numbers in North Shore, and you'd think that the guy couldn't stop a beach ball, when in actuality, he was a really good goalie in a really bad situation. I've always thought the goaltending's been pretty good, but the play hasn't been always structured in this league. This is a league, and we saw it here for a few seasons where there was a lot of stretch passes,
yep,
and a lot of guys hanging out at the other team's blue line.
Well, Mahfouz is the biggest offender when it comes to that.
Yeah, and still is, when he's playing. But the fact of the matter is it's just league-wide, you're seeing a lot less of that, and there seems to be more structure. I think Danville was successful because they had a good coach, and they were very structured.
Mm-hmm.
in the years that they're, and I can't think of his name now, but Harrison.
Yes.
Harrison was the coach there, the former Flag. Joe Senior used to call him Mr. Monopoly.
He had a nickname for everyone.
He had a nickname for everybody. But again, Joe Senior, when he took over in Dayton, it was helter skelter there, and he put a team that had like 5 wins when he got there and were 20 points out of a playoff spot, and they made the playoffs because he gave them some structure. And I think you see just all the teams in the league. So I'm interested to see what kind of state Battle Creek actually is in, because my guess is at first they might be a little tough to play against because they're probably going to be scrambling all over the place. And after playing, like, Columbus is very, like, structured. They move as a unit up the ice, and they come back. And
almost too patient.
Yeah.
It's almost too structured. Like, everyone's afraid to go try to make a play for them.
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's been a little less wide open, but I just think that's a case where the league is getting better and the coaching in the league is getting better.
And, you know, you see it, and ironically, with player coaches. Like, I don't know if that's there's a correlation there, but you see more player coaches in this league, and the brand of hockey has gone up, I'd say.
Well, I have to say, I like what Joe and Matt Graham are doing with the Prowlers, because the last, 3 home games, they've given up 2 goals.
Yeah. Well, it's because they practice what they preach. I mean, the things they ask them to do, they're doing. I think Matt Graham probably blocked 6 shots over the weekend. Joe Pace, while he will have his occasional dumb penalty, still plays hard, and I still think is one of the best defensive defensemen in this league. So when you have a team, and they have a good core, like if you look, I think the last transaction for the Prowlers was mid-November.
Yeah, it was
so November. They've had time to like get this cohesion with this group. So when you have 2 guys who are coaching you and are doing what they're asking you to do, it makes it easier for them.
Yeah. There's not a lot of distractions in the locker room either, like you just said, Brady. I mean, one transaction pretty much since the season's
begun.
And that
was Joe being returned from suspension was the last transaction.
Well, Nippert coming over.
Well, yeah, Nippert was last like player change.
Yeah, like they believe in this group. I mean, yeah, you see it every day, being there 5 days a week. And yeah, it's a great group, like Brady said, and yeah, exactly, practice what you preach.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so I apologize if I'm not exact. But I think they're 4-1 in the last 5 and have given up 7 goals.
Yeah, because they won their last 3. Mm. They lost in – they gave up 4 – yeah, 5 goals.
They lost to Danville.
2 against Columbus on Friday, 3 in the – to Hine when they went to Danville. And the night before that, they won 4-0.
Yeah.
Simon shutout.
So, I mean, goaltending's playing really well. Defense is playing well. They're really starting to see the cohesion from this group.
Yeah, and just another thing, big bounce bounce back night for Chris Paulin after losing his last 3 starts.
He's been playing well. Just like we said, gave up the back-breaking goal. He'd be playing well all night, and they needed a big save, and it wouldn't happen. And he made a few big saves last night, kind of scrambly, but made the saves nonetheless.
Yeah, I think it's been solid with both, and obviously you also get a push when the other guy isn't losing at all.
Right.
You know that if you want to keep in the rotation and keep getting a start every other start, you got to step up your game to match the other guy's game. So I think that's a plus-plus for the Prowlers when Simer came back. And what is he, 5-0 or something like that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So and he's not giving up much when he's in there, so that's pretty good. All right, so I think it's a foregone conclusion that they will beat 0-19 Battle Creek, or we're all going to pack up and move out of town.
Yep.
So thoughts on the weekend in Danville, and can they keep this little roll going, and can we add another 3 wins this week?
I would like at least 4 points. They have to, at worst, split, and I would like to see them get more than 3 points this weekend. They're playing well. They're playing as a unit. You can see, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They weren't making that little pass. They were just off a little bit here or a little bit there, and it cost them. They weren't making those mistakes this weekend. Keep that going. Don't let the distraction of a hockey team, basically the Interstate Hockey League, put into a team coming into your rink, and you beat, I'm assuming they're going to win by 5, 6, 7 goals. Don't let that distract you from what you need to do in Danville.
Yeah, right. Moving that Danville series, yeah, you definitely want to at least bit split. But hopefully now with Chris Paul and getting back into the group, maybe another sweep, hopefully. But
you know I get greedy.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here, but there's still more to come, so don't go away. It's Dennis Stuckey Show here on AM 1380 WPHM.